Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. As always, we begin with the reading of today's headlines. So, the first headline reads, Champaign County Courts. He's set to ride off. Kennedy excited to join wife in retirement. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Urbana. John Kennedy happily admits that he was the baggage that came to work in Champaign County because of his sought-after, brilliant wife. When Gail Kennedy was hired in 1996 at Carle as a pediatric neurologist, her lawyer spouse was offered a job as a prosecutor. Kennedy was an assistant Champaign County state's attorney for a little more than 4 years when he was selected in 2001 to the coveted post of associate judge. And after 20 years of wearing a robe at work, he's ready to do something different. On Friday, the Illinois Supreme Court posted notice of the vacancy to be created by Kennedy's retirement. His last day on the bench will be January 15th. "My timing is, it's time to go," said Kennedy, 64. A graduate of the University of Illinois for both his undergraduate and law degrees, Kennedy met his wife while they were in school. They both worked at Scott Hall, one of the six-pack dormitories, and married in 1983. Prior to coming to work for former state's attorney John Poland, Kennedy had worked at a law firm in Wheaton, the DuPage County State's Attorney's Office, and in the County Attorney's Office in Billings, Montana. Once he was appointed associate judge, Kennedy said he never really missed being a prosecutor. "It was fun to change," he said. That said, Kennedy has been hearing the same kind of cases for almost his entire judicial career, those involving the abuse and neglect of children. "I tell people, do I enjoy it? No. Do I think it's really worthwhile? Yes," he said, of the weighty assignment that often involves separating children from parents who are unable or unwilling to care for them. The overarching goal of the Juvenile Court Act, however, is the reunification of families. "I work much harder in those cases than I do in criminal cases," he said. "When we had reassignments, I always asked to be assigned to abuse and neglect." Kennedy said he's looking forward to joining his wife in retirement and trying to figure out how to best put his time to good use. "It will be totally away from the law," he said. "I've done a little bit of volunteer work with the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen. Gail is a weekly cook there. I plan when they want to start taking in new people to work with them," he said. He's also a fan of the Eastern Illinois Food Bank and an active member of St. Matthew Catholic Parish in Champaign. Following his wife's lead, she's been retired just over 3 years, he plans to just relax for a while before jumping into many new commitments. They also like to travel. "The first place I want to travel is Memphis," he said, "but I can't because of quarantine." That's the home of their only daughter, Corinne, and her husband, who are both reporters for the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, Tennessee. Kennedy said he's grateful for the great people he's worked with in the last 2 decades and pleased with the recent injection of new blood to the Champaign County bench. "We've had a lot of rapid change," he said, of the judiciary. 3 other circuit judges retired earlier this year. "I just feel really good about the people who are here. New ideas are good." Lawyers applying for Kennedy's post have until December 21st to submit their applications. And there's a nice big photo of Mr. Kennedy, John Kennedy, in the center of the front page of today's paper. And the caption reads, "Judge John Kennedy with the bike he rides to work on nice days at the Champaign County Courthouse in Urbana on Friday." So it's him standing next to a red bicycle outside the courthouse, and it looks like a pretty nice day, and he's got a nice smile on his face. Coming Wednesday, out for our first drive-through for early Black Friday Illinois basketball special section, so stay tuned for that. Next headline, local hospitals. Cases continue to rise as vaccine nears its arrival. This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of Champaign. Plans are underway to distribute the first COVID-19 vaccine doses to healthcare workers in Champaign County next month, according to Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride. The details are still being worked out at the state level, she said. But the vaccinations can't come soon enough for hospitals anxiously seeing the pandemic going from bad to worse. Officials at two Urbana hospitals, Carl Foundation Hospital and OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, said the use of their medical, surgical, and intensive care beds have hit record highs in recent weeks. It's not just an issue of having enough beds, said Dr. David Chan, Carl's associate chief medical officer. It's also a matter of having enough staff to care for the patients. One thing that's changed in recent months has been the number of healthcare workers getting COVID-19 themselves and unable to come to work, said OSF Heart of Mary president Dr. Jared Rogers. Both he and Chan said their hospitals recently have, at times, been at or near capacity for medical, surgical, or intensive care beds. Chan said Carl is also feeling the strain of demand for beds from outlying areas beyond those it typically serves. There have been calls from hospitals saying Carl is the 15th or 18th hospital they've called seeking room for their very ill patients, he said. He's typically optimistic, Chan said, but he believes it's become a matter of when and not if the hospitals will become overwhelmed. Right now, we certainly hear the hoofbeats behind us, he said. A pediatric cardiologist, Chan also said COVID-19 isn't just affecting older people. Younger people are also being impacted and may have lifelong impacts to their hearts, he said. With the holidays approaching, Chan and Rogers joined Pride in imploring everyone to refrain from gathering outside their own households and to keep in mind COVID-19 is spreading by people who don't have symptoms. Chan and Rogers also asked everyone to keep in mind that their hospitals still need staff and beds to care for patients other than those with COVID-19 who need medical attention. People are still holding weddings, parties, and gatherings as cases, deaths, and pressure on hospitals all continue to rise, Pride said. Not only that, public health has to use its resources to deal with restaurants and others violating the state's COVID-19 mitigation restrictions, she said. It gets down to individual behavior, Pride said. Right now, and even after the first healthcare workers are vaccinated, Pride, Rogers, and Chan said it's critically important for everyone to maintain the protective measures currently recommended to keep everyone safe. Maybe some of those others will protect, or maybe some of those others you protect may be the healthcare worker who will be caring for you, Rogers said. The next headline reads, Coronavirus Pandemic Day 259, updates 24/7 at newsgazette.com, by the numbers. Illinois, there have been a total of 664,620 cases. That's up by 8,322. There have been 11,552 deaths. That's up by 47. The 7-day positivity rate is now at 10.9%. which is down by 0.4%. The next headline reads, a continuation of Illinois impact. 7-day positivity rates moving in right direction statewide, 11.3% to 10.9% in Region 6, 14% to 13.7%. So things are going down ever so slightly. Illinois' 7-day positivity rate fell for the third straight day to a best in the Midwest at 10.9%. For comparison's sake, Michigan is at 11.4%, Indiana 11.9%, Nebraska 12.7%, Minnesota 13.3%, Ohio 15.9%. 13 out of the 74 COVID-19 positive patients at Carl's Hospital in Urbana Monday were in intensive care. Since March, 557 COVID-19 patients have been discharged from Carl's facilities. So that's since March. 86 have died. Called off for 2020 due to COVID-19 concerns, jury trials in Vermilion County through January, and in-person classes in Danville District Schools until January 11th if all goes well. Governor J.B. Pritzker on the need for a new federal stimulus bill ASAP. Without assistance from Congress, 5 weeks from now there will be no way to replace these benefits for the hundreds of thousands of Illinoisans impacted by these aid programs, which have become an essential lifeline for people who lost their jobs due to the pandemic. This is incredibly dire. This information was brought to us by Jeff D'Alessio. The next headline reads, Top of the Morning, Something to Get You Going Today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Since we don't publish a print edition on Thanksgiving, more than a pound of Black Friday advertisements, three insert packages, will be included in Wednesday's News Gazette. For the first time, we'll have those editions, $3, available via a drive-thru in the parking lot at the News Gazette, which is located at 201 Devonshire in Champaign, from 6 to 10 a.m. on Wednesday. That's tomorrow. Swing by and say hi to our hardworking distribution staff, including Circulation Director Travis Van Diver. Excuse me. If college basketball is your thing, Wednesday's issue will also include our 8-page tribute to Brad Underwood's Illini. The clever cover is courtesy of talented graphic artist Lincoln, L-Y-N-C-O-L-N, Delport, who played off the scene in Hoosiers, where the coach, Danville's Gene Hackman, reassures his team during nervous times. We're not sure if Underwood has done the tape measure thing yet, but it might be a good idea ahead of Wednesday's unusual opener. Also, for the fifth year in a row, the Champagne Wing Stop at 512 South Neal Street is hosting Wingsgiving, when franchise owner Sahil Contractor gives away as many free wings as it can on Thanksgiving. Contractor joined WDWS AM 1400 to discuss the tradition, which is especially important during COVID-19. The podcast is available at newsgazette.com. And there's a nice photo in the newspaper of Sahil Contractor. Oh, no, actually, it's of Travis Van Diver. And he's got lots of News Gazettes in his hand, and he's wearing a mask, and it looks like he's ready to distribute them. The next headline reads, History. Area History. In 1920, Thursday's Thanksgiving Day battle between Champaign and Urbana was to be played at Illinois Field for the first time in 20 years. Back in 1900, the game was so bitterly waged that the warfare between the two sides continued on after the game, and as a result, there wasn't an Urbana-Champaign game for another 12 or 15 years. In 1970, winter season tickets for the Bubble Top Champaign Park District swimming pool at Spalding Park had been reduced to $14, $92 in today's dollars, for a four-member family. In 2005, from the Frito-Lay plant in Sydney to the Sadorus Grain Elevator and the Abraham Lincoln Memorial in Tolono, from the Center of the Universe Water Tower in Philo to the State Police Headquarters in Pasodum, Rocket Nation, fans of Unity High School, had spent the week getting ready for the Class 3A title game against Bureau Valley. In international history, today's highlight, on November 24, 1859, British naturalist Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species, which explained his theory of evolution by means of natural selection. Also on this date, in 1947, a group of writers, producers, and directors that became known as the Hollywood Ten was cited for contempt of Congress for refusing to answer questions about alleged communist influence in the movie industry. In 1963, Jack Ruby shot and mortally wounded Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin of President John F. Kennedy, in a scene captured on live television. In 1974, the bone fragments of a 3.2-million-year-old hominid were discovered by scientists in Ethiopia. The skeletal remains were nicknamed Lucy. In 1991, rock singer Freddie Mercury died in London at age 45 of AIDS-related pneumonia. In 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court stepped into the bitter overtime struggle for the White House agreeing to consider George W. Bush's appeal against the hand recounting of ballots in Florida. The next headline reads, Vermilion County Courts. Mockbee, that's M-O-C-K-B-E-E, chosen as new associate judge. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Danville. A new associate judge will take the bench in Vermilion County in mid-December. Fifth Circuit Chief Judge Mitchell Schick, S-H-I-C-K, of Charleston, announced recently that Charles Mockbee, the fourth, it's in Roman numerals, I apologize, who serves as Corporation Counsel for the City of Danville, was chosen from 14 applicants for the job. Vermilion County Presiding Judge Thomas O'Shaughnessy said in August, partially due to a case backlog caused by the pandemic. Schick asked the Administrative Office of the Illinois Courts to fill an associate judge position that had been unfilled for many years. Mockbee's prior employment includes work as a Vermilion County Assistant State's Attorney and as a private practitioner in Danville. Mockbee is a graduate of Bismarck Henning High School and attended Danville Area Community College before earning his undergraduate degree from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He received his law degree from Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. The Fifth Judicial Circuit includes Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Edgar, and Vermilion counties. Mockbee will primarily be assigned to Danville, according to O'Shaughnessy. Associate judges in Illinois are appointed to their posts by elected circuit judges and serve at the pleasure of the circuit judges. They make approximately $197,000 a year. The next headline reads, Ask the Admin, a daily question for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District's Julie Pride. Question. Is anyone tracking cases among people who test positive and have been wearing masks? Or wearing masks and being around only people who are wearing masks? I realize the gathering of these numbers would depend only upon the respondent's truthfulness, but it might be helpful to provide mask-wearing efficacy, if we could correlate how many people are actually engaged in the practice and contract the disease anyway. P.S. I'm a faithful mask-wearer. First of all, thank you for wearing your mask. Masking and distancing is what we all need to do to bring this virus under control. We now have a light at the end of this long, dark tunnel of COVID-19 in the form of an effective vaccine. We have to all be vigilant in our prevention measure until vaccines are widely available. No, there is not trafficking or tracking of what you asked about, as it is a self-reported metric of little use. Most people believe they are wearing their masks correctly and consistently all of the time. In reality, and based upon trained observation and work sites, this is rarely the case. We encourage all to wear their masks and distance from others. This pandemic will get worse before it gets better, but it will get better. Send questions for Julie Pride, that's Julie, J-U-L-I-E, Pride, P-R-Y-D-E, to NewsGazette at newsgazette.com. The next headline reads, Judge Turnover. Judge John Kennedy's retirement will be the fourth in Champaign County in under a year's time. Preceding him, date retiree successor, March 25th, Jeff Ford, Ben Dyer, July 1st, Heidi Ladd, Sam Lamentato, November 1st, Tom DeFantis, Jason Baum. I think those second names are the people replacing them. Let's look at our week forecast for the next few days. Today, 47 degrees. Tomorrow, Wednesday, the high will be 58, the low will be 45. Thursday, the high will be 53 with a low of 41. That's for our Thanksgiving weather. And Friday, the high will be 51, the low will be 36. Saturday, the high will be 49, and the low will be 33. The next headline reads, Danville High School. He definitely has a heart for kids. Community huddling up to help coach, friend, and mentor in need of a transplant. This article is written by Dave Hinton and is based out of Danville. Marcus Forrest originally thought it was asthma. He was short of breath. Then his legs began to swell. We thought maybe he got bit by something, his wife, Tabitha, said. Within 2 days, they had swelled so bad he couldn't breathe or stand up. One day at lunch, he almost passed out in our kitchen. She took him to Carle Foundation Hospital, where he learned he had congestive heart failure. That was in early September. 2.5 months later, he's waiting for a heart transplant. Things have been spiraling for the Danville High School head football coach and his family. Forrest appeared to be in good shape. He worked out regularly, friend Durrell Robinson, Danville High's basketball coach, said. It was a shock, said Robinson, who grew up with Forrest. He's always been very healthy. I've been telling people 2020 has been the longest year ever. The Danville High community is also reeling from the recent death of head wrestling coach Terrence Tedder from brain cancer. Mr. Tedder is just 1 year older than Forrest, who is 45. They were close friends. Tabitha Forrest said, although hospitalized, her husband is in good spirits. He went to the hospital for a simple outpatient procedure and hasn't left the hospital. It was discovered his heart condition has worsened. His ejection fracture number, which measures how much blood the left ventricle pumps out with each contraction, is in the single digits. A normal rate has been between 50 and 70%. Forrest is now a patient at Chicago's Northwestern Memorial Hospital. They are running all kinds of tests, Tabitha said, to make sure the other major organs are working great. Then they will begin the search for a new heart. Doctors believe Forrest might have been born with an enlarged heart. Forrest is also a candidate to receive an LVAD or LVAD pump that helps the heart pump blood until a new heart can be found. Doctors are hoping they can find a match for him because he is in such good health outside of the heart. They said that's one thing that saved him thus far, Tabitha said. She said she and her husband, who have 3 children and a granddaughter, have been holding up well. I tell everyone we've literally been standing on the strength of the Lord. Anyone who knows us knows we do not hide our faith in God. Forrest is a deacon, and Tabitha a minister at Assembly Church of Danville. Danville High Athletic Director Mark Backus, said Forrest has been head coach since 2017, and before that, assistant coach for at least 10 years. Backus and Principal Tracy Cherry said Forrest believes there's more to football than the game. He tries to instill in his players the need to give back. He's in the community, and he has our kids out in the community all the time volunteering, Backus said. He really builds that mindset into the kids. That's why there's such a big push to support him now. Cherry said Forrest is also a homeschool liaison at the high school, providing intervention for students just because he has a gifted way of reaching your more difficult students and turn them around, get them on the right path. He definitely has a heart for kids, Cherry said, and has high expectations with the students. He holds them accountable, how they conduct themselves at school and in the community. They have to represent themselves in a respectful and positive way. Cherry said the high school will support Forrest and his family however possible. There are several ways to contribute to offset the Forrest's medical bills. By using Cash App, $CoachForrest5, PayPal, me/CoachForrest5, Venmo, CoachForrest5, or Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, marcus.forrest.5@gmail.com. So that's Marcus with a C and Forrest, F-O-R-R-E-S-T. So his email is marcus.forrest.5@gmail.com, and his phone number is 217, or this is the phone number where you can donate, 217-918-1146. That's 217-918-1146. Donations may also be dropped off at the Assembly Church, which is located at 428 North Walnut Street in Danville, or at the 2 First Midwest Bank locations in Danville. For questions, call Tabitha Forrest at 217-918-0690. And there's 2 great photographs that are provided to the paper. One of them is a man who's kind of standing around a bunch of football players who are on bended knee outside listening to their coach, Danville High School football coach Marcus Forrest, talks to his team during a 2017 practice. And also a picture of him, Danville High School football coach Marcus Forrest talks with a football player on the sidelines. And he's got his hands wrapped around on the shoulders of a player, and he's talking to him, giving him some support. The next headline reads, Urbana mayoral election, candidate filings. Marlin to face alderman, former basketball star. This article is written by Ben Sigderman and is based out of Champaign. In her bid for a second term, Urbana Mayor Diane Wolf Marlin, will be up against a city alderman and a former basketball star. Ward 5 Alderman Dennis Roberts, who is stepping down after his current term ends in May, and Verdell Jones III, a Champaign Central basketball player who played at Indiana and internationally, both filed Monday to run for mayor. Yingsi, or Andy Ma, has also filed to run for Urbana mayor. Roberts, who has served on the council for 16 years, said some residents in his neighborhood encouraged him to run for mayor. I think I have a different take on the direction the town might want to explore, maybe just by my personal interests, he said. I'm very interested in the human face of Urbana and its vitality. All four filed as Democrats and will face off in the February 23rd primaries. The general election is scheduled for April 6th, and Monday was the last day for candidates to file petitions for the spring elections. Here's a look at who else has filed. Champaign, in District 1, Councilwoman Clarissa Nickerson Foreman filed to run Monday after initially planning not to. She'll face Davion Williams and Azark Cobbs. I was not going to run because I'm sick of politics, and my mouth and politics don't necessarily go together, Foreman said. But a group of citizens passed around petitions and asked me to run. Foreman, that's spelled like the number, Foreman, said she'll focus her campaign on improving the police department and getting more help for mothers mourning the loss of their children to gunfire. I'm looking very much forward to having conversations about the police department and making changes there, she said. In District 2, incumbent Alicia Beck is running unopposed. To replace outgoing District 3 Councilwoman Angie Bricks, attorney Matt Sullard, personal trainer Daniel Iniguez, and activist Justin Michael Hendricks have filed to run. In a news release, Iniguez said he had lined up the endorsements of Bricks, Mayor Deb Finan, and State Senator Scott Bennett. My experience as a small business owner in managing the challenge of fewer resources and an ever-changing business model during COVID-19 have taught me to find creative solutions to challenges and to be prepared to pivot quickly, he said. These attributes will serve me well on council. Hendricks, a regular public commenter at council meetings who says people refer to him as the people's mayor, said he would work to amplify the voices in his district. I have provided food, clothing, and health precautions to our communities, even personal necessities to our most vulnerable during the pandemic, Hendricks said in a statement. Community engagement happens in the streets, and my work speaks for itself. In District 4, incumbent Greg Stock will run against Michael Fulmer, who ran for school board last year. In District 5, Vanna Pianfetti is running unopposed for a second term. Paul Faraci is running unopposed for township assessor. And activist Rita Connerly is challenging incumbent township supervisor Andy Cornstrom. We'll continue this article in part two of our reading of the News Gazette when we focus on Urbana. So that was Champaign. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette dated for this date, Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. Thank you for reading with me. I'll be back shortly to continue with part two of the News Gazette. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.